Americans talk differently anyway. That's a termite. Americans talk differently. That's why I've always felt that as far as intelligence is concerned, when you go to Europe or someplace like that, please do not feel inferior to those people because they can speak 11 different languages. The reason why they can speak 11 different languages, mostly, is because sometimes it's only a half-hour drive or a two-hour drive to go from one language to another. All over Europe, you can do the same thing. Now, in the United States, you can drive for 8 days and not run into another language. You see? So don't feel inferior. I mean, I feel very intelligent myself, mainly because of the scores I made on the exam. But aside from that, I mean, I can speak Cleveland. I can speak Houston. You take an Englishman who's supposed to be very intelligent. See, English people speak the way they do because the suits they wear don't bend too good. And they have to stand up straight, you know. And you see, their bottom lip is not as developed as ours. You see, their bottom lip, so I say, yeah, what hopes is this, old boy? See, you have to talk like that if you have, I say, what hope to be forfeit. See, they're not as relaxed. They all sit up straight no matter what. You've never seen an Englishman leaning unless he was dying. And even then he's saying, I'm so embarrassed that I'm leaning. Yeah, but it seems that my life's leaving me, you'll see. English people are conceited. You ever hear them? They love to listen to themselves. They say everything twice. Yeah, yeah. I went to a party, and this Englishman kept saying, I say, and then he didn't say nothing. And he had a friend with him, kept saying, quite so, quite so. Said, quite so what, man? What are you two talking about? Don't speak to him, Charles. There's a heathen. Heathen, heathen. I'd be a heathen, Jack. I'd take them two dudes to Mississippi. They wouldn't be able to understand a dude from Mississippi. See, I can understand Mississippi. You take an Englishman to Mississippi, the Mississippi dude says, say, y'all, come on over here. I beg your pardon. So I'm talking to y'all. Y'all, come on over here. You hear? Who? All y'all. You speaking in some sort of margarine? No, all y'all, come on over here. Right now. See, he wouldn't understand that. People from New Jersey saw things. I saw a dog. What, in half? No, I saw him. He was here. You go to New England, man can die from a heart attack. You know, my Uncle Walter died from a heart attack. You mean some hats jumped on him and beat him up? No, his hat attacked him, his hat. Yeah. Henry Kissinger is from Alabama. I'm telling you. Oh, I swear. Now, next time Kissinger talks, listen to him. You know, you know he's from the South.
Well, that was the way they was when they did it, and that's why they was there with the bombs and they blew them up.
I was the first one to recognize that, man. I told my wife, I said, that dude is from Alabama, listen to me.
That's right, I was there when they did it, and that's what they better get out of there.
Intellectuals, real intellectuals, are people who are afraid to show their feelings. You know, there's a lot of UFO stories going around, you know, and they always get the guy from down south, and he's all,
yeah, me and George, we's up there, and they come down out the sky, and they give us some chiclets.
Now, how do these people know that those are the dudes they're supposed to pick on? You know, I'm sure they must have landed. See, intellectuals are afraid to say they saw it. You know, you get some dude, man, IQ of 700. You know, he ain't telling nobody he saw something like that.
Janet and I were having dinner in this object, which obviously was a figment of our imagination, came down and gave us a chiclet.
Some journalist who writes for the New Yorker would do about 100 pages on that. You know, bore you to death. My father was a very, very bright man. He graduated from high school, and then he was kicked out of college for a number of things. But he was very, very proud to be what he was. He said some brilliant things in his life, but he confused me because from age 1 to 7, because of my father's Christ. I mean, I come in the living room and trip and fall, and he said, Jesus Christ, can't you walk? Be eating dinner and go to grab a piece of bread and a water glass to be in your way, and you just knock it over. Jesus Christ, clean the water up. So we moved from Stewart Street to the projects. And the kids in the neighborhood said, what's your name? And I said, Jesus Christ. And the dude said, your name ain't no Jesus Christ. I said, yes it is. Come on to my house. I brought 20 kids in the living room, man. My father said, Jesus Christ. And then from age 7 to 15, I thought my father was a psychologist. Because he'd look at me and say, are you crazy? And my wife, poor lady, was, I'm just sorry what the children have done to her, man. No, you see, you don't understand. With kids, those of you who have no kids, see, my wife and I we decided to have children because we liked what they look like. You know, you see them in magazines, they look cute, you know. On TV, you see, you know, they got, and you say, aww, let's have one of those, man, you know. And you don't realize that this is going to be with you for half your life. One of the nastiest and most frightening things in the world is a 2-year-old with a cold. Because, you know, they can't blow their nose. And it ate the whole face. It's like a glazed donut. And you can hear them all over the house because they can't breathe. You know, they... And you hear this coming after you, man. And you look, and there's this face, man. The glazed donut monster. And you say, wipe your nose, and they go. I want a kiss.
I am not your parent. I don't know who you are, child, but I don't belong to you. Kiss the dog. And the dog will head up too, man. Dog,
no, I don't know the kid either.
Let's send him over here. Mothers enunciate in public. They talk to you like you cannot understand English. Put that down. When I tell you something, I mean for you to do what I said. Do you hear me talking to you? And mothers know how to grab you too, see? That's another thing. Nobody ever really watches, man. When you watch a mother grab a child and yank that arm, it is special, man. They go whack, and the kid never goes ahead. See, fathers cannot yank, because fathers don't know how to do it. Fathers say, come here, and the kid slip out of the hand and go through the window. What happened to our child? I don't know. Kid went crazy, jumped right through the window. See, and another thing is fathers, when they get tired of you, man, they tell you to go to your mother, you know. So, where's your mother? She's in it. Well, go on and see your mother. Don't come in here with that. Why are you bothering me like that? Go do that to your mother. See, mothers cannot stand your room. That's the biggest hassle I ever had in my life, was the room. Come up and open the door, and you've been in your room for 8 hours. Nothing wrong with your room as far as you can see. Everything's just where you put it. Look at this room. This is a pig sty. Now you get this room cleaned up right now, or so help me, I will beat you to death. Now that's another thing. The way mothers talk, now usually the FCC's talking about violence on TV. If they heard your mother, they take her out of the living room. Because mothers can talk up some violence, man. You know, I will beat you within an inch of your life. Can you believe that, man? That she's gonna beat you until you are this far? And then stop! I will knock your brains out. Now, that is horrible, man. She's gonna hit you in the head and your brains are gonna fall out on the floor. I always wonder what would happen if I went to the store and got some calves' brains and kept them in a bag, and one day she hit me and I just throw them on the floor. And then walk around the room. Knowing my mother, she'd have no mercy. Pick those brains up and put them back in your head, and don't you let your brains fall out of your head again. I will knock you into the middle of next week. Please do, because I'm having a rough time this week.
One of the most frightening things I ever heard from my mother was, you know, I'll knock the black off you. And don't ask me to help you put it back on. It's your black and it fell off. Now you find out how to put it back on. And then when they beat you, they want to have a conversation with you. What did I tell you? And hit you on each syllable too, man. Didn't I say not to go out there in that rain, jumping in those puddles? Mothers will hit you for nothing too, man. My mother couldn't hit my brother Russell, because Russell just moved all over the place. Russ was fast. Up in the air. and me and Bob just sitting on the sofa watching the beating. We wasn't laughing or nothing. She turned on us. And don't you sit there watching me miss him. Me and Bob got the hint. We jumped on Russell and held him down. And I love it when they forget your name. They named you and they forget, come here, Roy, Richard, Rutabaga, what is your name, boy? And don't lie to me because you live here and I'll find out who you are. Sick of you. Sick. Weird. See, fathers, you know your father's gonna kill you. It's just something about the way they talk to you. You know, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. Well, my father was the funniest person in the house. I really loved him. Fathers are. They're the best people. And the funniest, because fathers are the only people in the house who are allowed to have gas. We told time by my father.
Yeah. Uh-oh, 6 o'clock, there goes Dad.
My old man should have been in Guinness's World Book of Records. One morning he made it from his bedroom to the bathroom and down to his car without stopping. And changed keys 3 times. And he always said the same thing every time.
Ah, boy.
And my mother said, oh, will you please cut it out? And my father said, I thought I just did. And you didn't have a real father if he never came up to you and said, come here and pull my finger. Boy, that was the best trick in the world, man. Don't have gas on purpose. They do by accident, like when they sneeze. I'll never forget the first time it happened to my mother. We were having breakfast and she was chewing everybody. You better eat what I put on your food. She just, and man, everybody started eating. Right? My father was the only one with any sense. He just say God bless you to your mother. My dumb brother Russell said, hey, Ma, next time, let me pull your finger. When you get married, you soon find out that you have other duties which you never thought of. Nobody ever tells a young unmarried male about things like that. I mean, you think on the onset that you're just supposed to get a job, bring your check home, let your wife give you the money, and you go out and play. That was before women's lib. I don't think there ever will be a women's lib in marriage because women love to keep that money, man. See, women's lib really means sharing. That's what it means, see? And women, when they get married, sharing is out. Everything is theirs. You give your wife some money and you say, bring me back. There is no change. Where's my change? There was no change. But I gave you a 20. The thing only cost $5. That's right. Well, what happened? There is no change. And then you say to her, listen, let me have 20. Are you kidding? This is my money. Go get your own money. I did, but there was no change. But the thing that I found very strange was the fact that being a new husband, I had to kill things. Little things with a lot of legs that were harmless, but they crawled. And I mean, wives are serious about killing these things, man. Ah! And you come running in ready to karate anybody. And she's, kill it! And first of all, you can't find it. You don't know what she's talking about. You know, she's just pointing at the floor. You kill the floor? My wife was an old roach with three legs missing. And the thing was, trying to make it across the road. Man. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. It's nasty. Get that off my rug. Things become her, my rug. Get it out of my living room. Get it. Kill it. Get it. So you get a piece of tissue and you pick the thing up and you go to put it in her trash can. And she said, don't put that in the trash can. Take it outside. So there you are, walking to the dump. What about 9 other husbands? All of us have tissues and a roast. Did you kill a roast today?
Yeah, I killed one too. Take a walk down to the dump.
Lizards. I was in Acapulco. Stayed at this hotel where the lizards hid behind a picture frame. They hid right behind the picture frame, you know, and there was no TV, so you laid up and you watched the picture. And you just watched the picture and all of a sudden, the lizards. Lizards move. They're the only things that I know of that are on amphetamines. And to me, it was just a little lizard. But to a wife, God, get it! And I approached this lizard. Lizards are fast, man. You just can't catch them like you kill a roach, you know. Even if they lose a leg, they grow one right away. And the closer I got to the lizard, the more I started thinking, suppose he's got a friend behind the frame who decides to have some fun, and he pushes the lizard on my neck. then I would scream. And the lizard on me would say, there's a man on me! But the worst thing for a wife is a mouse. See, now, first of all, a mouse just goes along the wall. You never seen a mouse come in your living room and say, but a housewife, God, there it is, and I said, what are you afraid of? It's just a mouse. It's gonna crawl on my leg. And I said, well, tell me something. Who told the mouse that that's where the cheese is? Run up somebody's leg. It was running along the wall. Craziness. Craziness. Weird. Now, people who smoke dope, I especially love to mess with because they have no business being out. I don't know why people smoke dope and then go out. Because they smoke and then they become paranoid about if anyone knows that they're ripped. And you can hear them saying things to themselves like, am I walking? Yes, well, why aren't the buildings approaching me? And another thing, see, when people smoke dope, thoughts flash. And then they say yes, and then whatever they said yes to leaves. So they find themselves someplace and they don't know why. That's funny, man. A dude wandered into Burger King and stood there for 20 minutes. And finally, the dude said,
can I help you?
Yeah, I want to see the king. And then people who've been smoking dope, they laugh at things that only, it's just funny to them. Dude stood there just laughing. I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. This place is freaking me out. The dude took a piece of round meat and threw it on the grill. Then he turned it over. It had three black stripes on it. I said, far out. Then he took two pieces of bread and put the meat between it. And he sold it to some dude. And the dude ate it. I can't deal with it. I have some friends of mine who happen to be dentists. And I go to the dentist regularly now. There was a time when I used to offend my mouth. And then my teeth started to offend me back. So I decided I would take care of my mouth. But I tried to explain to the dentist that the big mistake that they make is that they tell us to do something, then they do something else. For instance, dentists will tell you, please do not pick your cavity with a sharp metal object. Now, there's a lot of fun in picking your cavity with a safety pin. A lot of fun. You hear it ping, pong, ping, pong, you know. So you try not to do that. Then when you get to their office and you open their mouth, the first thing they pull out is a hook made out of stainless steel, man. And they start pulling on your tooth harder than you ever would. Now, the first thing you hear, like, now, while he was doing that, I found out something about myself. I found out that if I was ever paralyzed from the knee down, I'd be able to walk with my behind. Because while he was doing that, I just kept going.
Will you sit up?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Sit up. I beg your pardon. I didn't know.
I'm sorry. Now he finishes that. Gonna give you the needle. Now, regular doctors, when they give you a shot, they just go, and that's it. Dentists, the needle is about 4 feet long. Dentists study gums and teeth. They know nothing about lips, because they try to pull your lips out wide enough so that the truck can get in there. Now they hit the gum, and they go in, and they stay there for 2-3 days, man. And your brain is going, please hurry up, 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 please, oh God, oh, please hurry up, please hurry up, oh God, oh, please hurry up, please, oh my God, oh, please hurry up, please hurry up. And then he wants to talk to you.
You ever do any fishing? Where do you usually go? Yeah, I've been in Florida many times.
Now, he doesn't know how much to give me. He's just looking for the needle to come out through the back of your head.
Oh, there she blows.
Now they leave you in the room by yourself with this machine. And as a grown-up, I tell you, I've never felt so dumb in all my life as with this machine. Now, this machine is supposed to suck up your spit. I have been sucking up my own spit for 40 years. I have never tried to suck up my adenoids, my tonsils, and this machine will suck your eyeballs out if you're not careful. And just, and you sit there fighting it. Now they come back and take the thing out. Now the dentist is going to drill. But before he drills, you notice that the right side of your face feels like it's sliding off of your skull. You notice that your bottom lip is now in your lap. So you'd like to discuss this with him and get the truth. Did he hit a nerve and this is it for you for the rest of your life? Or what? So you say, I don't know what it means.
Beg your pardon?
I'm silly. I was wondering about my penny.
About your what?
My penny.
What about it?
Well, it seems to be sliding off of my penny. You see the skin coming down off of the skull.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. You put the needle into my mouth and now my face is covered. My bottom lip, it was hanging on the floor.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Now he goes to work in your mouth. And you look up and you see and smell smoke coming out of your mouth. So you say, wait a minute.
What's the matter now?
Smoke!
Where?
Smoke that is coming out of my mouth.
I didn't see it go off the ground.
Now, of course, you did, Tibian. I saw it and I smelled it, too.
Well, let me finish work.
No. Why did you have to do the smoke? there won't be any smoke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now he drills some more. And you hear him make a mistake. Now, to cover it up, they all say the same thing. Okay, rinse.
Rinse. There is human swimming, rinse. I don't have a bottom limit, and you said it, ready? Harder, harder, harder.
Now you reach over and you grab one of these paper cups that they get on sale. You get about a million for a penny, folded by people out of work. And just to show him, you put the water in your mouth and you shake. Water going on your ear, down in your lap, up your nose. So you grab another one, you put the water in your mouth, you hold your lips and shake your head. Now you want to spit into this miniature toilet bowl. So you don't have a bottom lip, so you just open your mouth and let it all fall out. And you say, thank God for gravity. Now you would like to sit back, but you can't, because hanging from your bottom lip is a long line, and you can't get it off your lip. Oh, you can get it off if you want to be gross about it, you know, reach up, grab it, and throw it off. If you try to be cool, you want to shake it off. So you're shaking it, it's shaking over here, and it's shaking over there. You try to blow it off, and all you hear is... So you figure, maybe if you sit back, it'll snap in half. You sit back, now you got a line from the bowl to your bottom lip, and the dentist looks at you and says, oh, look, a rainbow. And they send you a bill for that. For making rainbows. Weird people. And you can't talk all day. You go to the parking lot to get your car. You want your car?
Yeah, Mr. Flemish.
What kind you got?
Oh, the rabbit's heavy.
Weird people.